Houston, we're recording altitude HA-1026, HP 96.8, RBI 25560.
Roger, Apollo 8, understand Apogee 102.6, Perigee 96.8, and velocity, I understand, 25560. Could you confirm?
That's affirmative.
Jim Lovell now has just read us down what he saw on his instrumentation. He shows an apogee of 102.6, a perigee of 96.8, and a cutoff velocity of 25,560 feet per second. That's within
Apollo 8, of a percentage Houston, point of what we are rewinding the tape recorder this time,
here,
all
right? Houston. And now the crew has been advised we have settled on an orbit of 103 apogee by 99 miles perigee. We were shooting for something very close to 100 nautical miles circular. We have now the tape of the entire launch sequence, and we'll play it for you at this time.
This is Apollo Control Houston here, 21 minutes 40 seconds into the flight. And we're out over the Canaries. A crew, which is sounds like strictly business. Its main spokesman during this pass, in the last minute or two, has been Jim Lovell. And we now begin that very anxious business of making sure that all the systems are settled down and calibrating them. And from all appearances, they certainly are. The first one, a major concern, of course, is the platform alignment. Right now, we think we see something on the order of a 0.2 hundredths or two-tenths of a degree out of alignment, which is nothing at all. That's alignment. The communication has been nothing short of outstanding. I don't recall a time when the communication from a simulator was as sharp and as clear as it is today from this spacecraft. Here's how the conversation is going as we proceed across the Canary Islands.
Apollo 8 Houston through the Canaries. How do you read?
You're loud and clear, Houston, over the Canaries.
Good, you're loud and clear too. How's it going?
Fine. We seem to be going right along very well. We noticed about a 10-pound delta T between the oxygen fuel and the SPS, though.
Apollo 8 Houston, that is normal. That's just about what we expected, over.
Roger.
Standing by for the main rig. Okay, main rig, V valve closed.
Apollo 8 Houston, say again.
Negative, but we didn't say anything. Go ahead, Houston.
I think you were transmitting. Jim was transmitting, and this is the guy.
Roger, sorry.
Apollo 8 Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
Roger, you have 1 minute to LOS Canaries. Everything is looking good on board both the spacecraft and the S-4B. We'll see you over Tananarive at 37 minutes, over.
Roger. Thank you, Houston. Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston, you have the tape recorder, low bit rate, over.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Apollo Control Houston, 37 minutes into the flight. And we are standing by. We expect to contact the crew just momentarily through the Tananarive station. The surgeon reports during the launch phase, Frank Borman had a peak heart rate of 130 beats per second. That's fairly early on in the mission. 130 was his max. And now we have acquired a crew.
Okay,
let's
everything looks real
cut
good
to
on
the
ground
curtain.
With both vehicles. We still have you 103 by 99 on your orbit from our low speed data, and everything's looking very good. Over.
Roger, thank you.
This is Apollo Control, a much quieter pass than we expected, but perhaps it's understandable. The crew is quite busy with their post-orbital insertion checklist. Frank Borman, all three of them, have probably by now removed their helmets and gloves. We have not heard that vocally confirmed, but I think it's a fair assumption. That event could have come as early as 15 minutes into the mission while they were still out over the Atlantic. Borman would be probably now mounting a sighting instrument in his window. Lovell is working with his navigation equipment. He has to jettison a cover off his optics through which he observes stars and horizons. and Anders performs a wide variety of systems tests, looks at all of his major systems, and does a quick check on his fuel cell purging operation. So it's safe to assume the crew's very busy. Again, Borman's heart rate, we had him on the biomed loop during launch. The peak rate was 130. We've confirmed to the crew that the orbit we gave them shortly after insertion, 103 by 99, stacks up and refines to be a good and acceptable and a stable orbit. As soon as Lovell is able, he will go through a detailed inertial measurement unit alignment through several major computer programs. Now we're cutting back to some talk with the crew. Let's switch to that.
Roger, we have 1 minute to LOS to Nannery. We'll see you again over Carnarvon at 5209, over.
Roger, we do have the optics coverage jettison, but there's everything seems to be going fine.
Roger, optics coverage jettison, thank you.
And this is Apollo Control at 42 minutes into the flight. That'll wrap up the communication from Tananarive. We'll be back with them at 10 minutes from now, 52 minutes into the flight, Carnarvon should acquire. This is Apollo Control, Houston. It's Apollo Control, Houston here, 55 minutes into the flight. We have switched our biomed harness selector to Bill Anders, and we're watching him breathe and watching his heartbeat here on the scope. And we've also put in an establishing call with the crew. There's been no flood of conversation since that point, but let's establish it in any case and come back when we have something more. Let's hear the tape.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8, you're loud and clear.
Roger, loud and clear over Carnarvon. We'd like to take the DSV away from you for a second.
Roger, go ahead.
Thank you.
Lights down there. Houston, this is Apollo 8.
Houston, here, Apollo 8, go ahead.
Roger, the torquing angles, 00026. That's plus 00026, plus 00035, plus 00119.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 8, Houston, copy. Houston, copy, plus 00026, plus 00035. Plus 00119.
Roger, we checked on Spire 6 and 15, and the error was plus 00001.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Pretty good for a beginner here.
Right. Apollo 8, Houston, we have about 1 minute to LOS Carnarvon. Everything is looking good with both the spacecraft and the S-4B. We'll see you over Honeysuckle Creek at 5927 just here shortly.
Thank you.
And this is Apollo Control, Houston. You heard Mike Collins say we want to take the DSE away from you. That's the onboard tape recorder. The ground wanted to check its function, and it's proceeding to as the spacecraft moves across southern Australia. Via Honeysuckle station in eastern Australia. We should have additional communications, and we'll just stand by for those. This is Apollo Control, Houston, at an hour and 4 minutes into the flight. Over the last couple of minutes, we've been had a little whisper of a problem here through the Honeysuckle station in Australia. It has been fixed. But the problem was the crew was not receiving us on the relay through Honeysuckle. We could hear them loud and clear, but they were not receiving us. And it was a period of about 2 minutes there where they advised us several times of certain readings, obviously broadcasting in the blind and not getting the confirming information back from our capsule communicator. Mike Collins here, the problem has been cleared up, I want to emphasize. Hawaii this morning is receiving for the first time, received for the first time, a live television picture of the launch, and we understand, talking with some people out in the station at Pearl Harbor, that they're quite enthusiastic about it, and they plan to go out and try to watch the TLI burn, which is to occur 2 hours and 50 minutes. It should occur almost directly over Hawaii and under ideal lighting arrangements. The local time will be about 5:55 to 6 a.m. Darkness down on Earth and just the first faint streaks of dawn. So if the clouds will cooperate, they may see it. We have some tape from the Honeysuckle Pass, which will clarify the comm problem we had, which toward the end of the pass gets altogether cleared up. Here's the tape.
Hello, Houston, Apollo 8 on your 8.
You're loud and clear, Apollo 8, Houston here. Apollo 8, Houston, here, loud and clear, over. Apollo
8,
Houston, loud and clear, over.
Houston, Apollo 8, on your 8.
Reading you loud and clear, Bill, help me.
Houston, Apollo 8, over.
Apollo 8, Houston, loud and clear, over. Apollo 8, Houston, over. Apollo 8, this is Houston, over. Apollo 8, this is Houston, over. Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Houston, Apollo 8 on S-band, if you read everything, is go.
Roger, understand, Apollo 8. Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, read you loud and clear.
We're reading you loud and clear also, Bill. The problem here over Honeysuckle has been on the ground. Your spacecraft equipment is all working fine. We're going to have LOS in about a minute, and we'll pick you up over Guaymas at 128.13. Over.
Roger, 128.13. Thank
you. Roger. We're giving the DSC back to you, Apollo 8.
Roger, thank you.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 1 hour, 19 minutes into the flight. We've had no additional contact with the crew since we left Honeysuckle Creek. And before we reach the States, we want to play for the second time for the broadcast pool the liftoff tape through about 5 minutes. Through some technical difficulty, it was missed the first time around, so now we're going to repeat both the picture and the audio track on the early minutes of liftoff. And I'm sure other members of the media in the newsroom will understand. Could you roll the tape, please?
Roger, clock.
Roll a pitch program.
Roger.
How do you hear, Houston?
Loud and clear. Pod 1 Charlie, Apollo 8.
Pod 1 C.
Apollo 8 Houston, you are go for staging, over.
Houston here, 1 hour, 29 minutes into the flight. And the first call from Mike Collins to Apollo 8 has gone out as yet without response. This will be, this pass across the states. This time should last 15 to 20 minutes. Will be a major checkpoint on all the systems, particularly that guidance and navigation system. Jim Lovell will be a very busy boy. And so will Frank Borman in ensuring that all the checks are accurate. In the course of it, Bill Anders is to perform a backup communications check, switching to alternate channels should anything develop or go wrong in the primary communications mode. And as the spacecraft moves across the Atlantic, the crew then will proceed into their translunar injection checklists in preparation for the burn on the next rev. We've put in a call. We've not heard anything. Let's just open the line and stand by.
Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Turn Apollo 8, over.
Roger, how are you reading? Apollo 8, this is Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 8, standing by for a go for the backup comm check, over.
Oh, roger, stand by, one, Bill. California, inhibit VHF downlink.
California, inhibited.
Apollo 8, Houston, go ahead with backup voice check. Apollo 8, this is Houston. Go ahead with backup voice check. Over. Apollo 8, Houston. Go ahead with backup voice check. Over.
Roger, Mike. I gave you a count. I'll give you another one. Are you standing by?
Roger, standing by.
Roger, it's Apollo 8. The backup voice. One, two, three, four, five, five, four, three, two, one. Over.
Roger, Bill. Reading you weak but clear. Go ahead with normal S-band voice check.
Roger.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Houston, this is Apollo 8 on normal S-band. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How do you read? Over.
Apollo 8, Houston. Reading you loud and clear, normal S-band. Help me. Apollo 8, Houston. Reading you loud and clear on normal S-band. Help me. Over. Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, this is Apollo 8, reading you loud and clear on normal.
Roger, reading you loud and clear on normal S-band, help me.
Here.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Houston, Apollo 8, how do you read on VHF, over?
Apollo 8, Houston, reading you loud and clear. We're also reading you loud and clear on S-band normal. How may, over.
Roger, I've been reading you loud and clear. I'll give you another count on S-band normal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How do you read?
Roger, that's loud and clear, Bill. California, would you enable VHF downlink, please?
California, enable.
That's Bill Anders and Mike Collins doing those voice checks.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, we are going to rewind your tape recorder, and we have the TLI plus 90 and TLI plus 4-hour pads at your convenience, over.
Roger, ready to copy.
Roger, TLI plus 90, SDS slash GNN, 63531, minus 164, plus 129er. Are you with me so far, over?
Roger, we're with you.
Okay. 00417. 4265 minus 04402 minus 00001 plus 4837 1 7 8 1 6 9er 3 5 9er not applicable plus 00185 4 8 5 8 7 6 0 3 4 8 3 8 3 0 6 2 0 2 7 2 5 0.
The information that Mike Collins is passing to Jim Lovell are the procedural numbers and angles should an abort become necessary at two discrete periods after the translunar injection burn, 90 minutes after and at 4 hours after. And I wish you'd hear quite a few numbers.
Plus 1 1 2 3 minus 0 3 0 0 0 1 2 3 1 3 3 4 4 9er 4 0 1 7 4 7 3 9er North set stars, roll 0 6 8, pitch 0 9er 7, yaw 3 5 6, ullage none. Other, high speed procedure not required. Over.
Houston, this is Apollo 8. We missed a portion of that maneuver pad. Can you start with HP and go down to Foresight Star? Over.
Roger. I say again, HP plus 00185. Are you with me?
Roger, we're with you.
4 8 5 8 7. 6 0 3. 4 8 3 8 3. 0 6 2 0 2 7. 2 5 0. And the Borsite star is Earth Center. Over. Apollo 8, Houston, did you copy?
Roger, Houston, this is 8, TLI plus 90 as follows. Minus, the weight will be plus 63531, minus 164, plus 129, 004, 17, 4265, minus 04402, minus 0001, plus 48387, 178, 169, 359, plus 00185, 48587, 603, 48383. We'll have to get the sextant information later.
Apollo 8, Houston, we're picking you up now over Bermuda. I did not copy your readback after Delta VC. That was the last quantity I received.
Roger, Houston, can you give us the sextant information again, please, the sextant star information?
That's affirmative. Sextant star 06, shaft 2027, trunnion 250. Over.
Roger, starting out with the sextant star 06, 2007, 250, Earth Center, down 123. Right, 22. Plus, 1123. Minus, 03000. 12313. 34494. 017-4739. North set. Roll 068. Pitch 097. Yaw 356. No ullage.
Roger, Jim. On your sextant star, the shaft should be 2027. 2027, over.
Roger, copying 0227.
Apollo 8 Houston, would you go to Pooh and accept, please? We want to send up the state vector. Okay.
We are in accept.
Roger, in accept.
Roger, go ahead. We're in Pooh and accept.
Thank you. I have your TLI plus 4 hour pad when you're ready to copy, and your TLI pad also.
Ready to copy.
Okay, TLI plus 4 hours, SPS slash GNN. Weight is still 63531, is printed. Pitch and yaw minus 164 and plus 129er. Are you with me so far?
We're with you.
GTI 006 47. 2779er minus 0159er 4 plus 00000 plus 528851781555. 000, not applicable, plus 0019er 2 529er 0 9er. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Apollo 8 Houston, over.
This is Apollo 8, you're breaking lock on S-band, and again, you got cut out just at HP.
Okay, HP plus 0019er 2 529er 0 9er 6 2 7 5 2 6 9er 4. Are you with me, over?
Roger.
Sextant star 12103721 Earth center down 063 right 23 plus 1068 minus 16500 12505 35061 026 4257 North set stars. Roll 068. Pitch 097. Yaw 356. Ullage none. High speed procedure not required. Over.
Roger, Houston, TLI plus 4. Weight remains the same. Minus 164 plus 129. 006 47 2779 minus 01594 plus All ball. +52885 178155000 NA +00192 529 09 627 52694 12 1037 211 First center down 063 right 2.3 +1068
And this is Apollo Control Houston here. While we are still in communication via the Vanguard, I wanted to pass on to you some real-time telemetry we're getting on a few cabin functions. The cabin pressure has been holding at a rock-steady 5.2 pounds per square inch since launch. We've switched now to the biomed, switched the biomed harness over to Jim Lovell in the center couch. And his heart has been running at around 69 to 70 beats per minute. He's breathing at a very steady 20 to 25 respirations per minute. He's been doing a lot of talking, doing a lot of writing down there, trying to copy all those numbers. The cabin temperature is a very comfortable 62 degrees. All the other sources, the oxygen pressure is still slightly more than 100%. We normally launched about 105 to 106%. It's showing 104%. All other sources in the cabin, in the biomed area, look quite good. And let's go back now and hear even more numbers as we complete this TLI abort information.
Zero, Niner one, yaw, 001. Comments, TLI plus 10 minute abort attitude is 1 Niner degrees, and I don't believe you got time to read that back. We'll see you over the Canaries at 150 GET. Adios.
You heard Mike Collins. After a conversation that started at 1 hour and 25 minutes into the mission, it's now 1 hour and 40, nearly 1 hour and 50 minutes, to give you some understanding of the extraordinarily long periods that we can hold the spacecraft during these stateside passes. And Mike bobbed that conversation off with an adios and said we'd pick him up in 1 minute over the Canaries. So essentially we've got... let's see, near on the order of 35 to 40 minutes of continuous communication, starting with Guaymas and running through the Canary Station. Let's just leave the circuit up. We'll have them back in just a very few seconds.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Houston, the flight director has just advised the room that the booster, the S-4B, all consumable sources, every bit of data we have looked at and examined, indicate we should proceed with the TLI burn. Go back to the crew.
Looking good, both from a guidance and a consumable viewpoint. It all looks go.
Roger.
DSC is all yours, Bill.
Thank you.
Apollo 8 Houston, we'll have LOS in 1 minute. We'll pick you up again over Tananarive at 209er.
Roger, Michael, thank you.
Roger, how does it feel up there?
Very good, very good. Everything is going real well. It looks just about the same way it did 3 years ago.
And Bill got time from playing with his tape recorder to look out the window?
Roger. We had one little incident here. Inadvertently popped one light there, so we got one full Bay West with us here.
Roger. Right, understand.
This is Apollo Control, Houston. That'll apparently wrap it up by Canary Islands, Tananarive. We are due to acquire at 2 hours and 9 minutes into the flight, about 15 minutes from now. You heard in the tag end of that conversation a fairly relaxed Borman commenting on the fact that it looked very much like it did 3 years ago when he and Jim Lovell were flying Gemini 7. And he also reported that inadvertently a Mae West had been inflated. We're not just sure whose Mae West it was, but the supposition here that is that one tank or one side of the life jacket on the command pilot might have been inadvertently triggered, and we're sure it's causing no difficulty, and it'll be deflated and stowed at the proper time with the suits. So we'll be back at Tananarive in about 10 to 12 minutes. This is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston. At 2 hours, 15 minutes into the flight, we have had a chat with the crew over Tananarive, and among other things, Frank Borman reported that he was Gemini 8, which was a cause for a few smiles. Some wag finally added, remember now, you're Gemini 7, not Gemini 8. And here's how the conversation went.
Apollo 8, Houston, through Tananarive, over. All right, here, Apollo 8. We don't have anything for you. We're just standing by. Looking good.
Roger, thank you.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Gemini 8, location Apollo 8.
Roger, Gemini 8, Houston. We'd like to bring you up to date on the comm situation while we got some quiet time here. We'll be LOS Tananarive in another 2 minutes. We'll be picking you up over Carnarvon at 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 22 seconds. LOS Carnarvon will be 2:31:55. Then we've got Araya number one coming in at about 2:37:30. And after that, we have a handoff to Mercury, to Hawaii, to Goldstone, and we should have continuous comm. Over.
Thank you.
Right. That's your Gemini 7, not 8.
And that wrapped up the conversation via Tananarive. We'll be back at standby one here, 2 hours, 25 minutes, 8 minutes from now, via Carnarvon. This is Apollo Control, Houston. At 2 hours, 26 minutes into the flight, we have just acquired via Carnarvon, and here's how that conversation is going.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Apollo 8, you are go for TLI. Over.
Roger, understand. We're go for TLI.
Uh, This is Apollo Control, Houston, running through an unusually quiet pass across Carnarvon with very little more than the establishing call signs. Our orbital digitals, which we're reading out from Australian sites, show that the present velocity is 25,569 feet per second, showing an apogee of 105.5 nautical miles. And our translunar injection burn will have the effect. Here's some comm going up. Let's catch up with it.
We're at LOS in about 30 seconds, and we'll pick you up over Araya 1 at 237 and a half.
Roger.
Apollo Control back here. The TLI burn will add 10,500 feet per second, perhaps a foot or two more per second than that, but that's very close. 10,500 feet per second to the present 25,570. And the duration of the burn will be slightly more than 5 minutes. It is to occur at 2 hours and 50 minutes into the flight. We have a combination of stations will be seeing it. The ship Mercury will see it. It's parked about 1,000 miles southwest of Hawaii. Hawaii also should see it. And in a very few minutes, as the spacecraft starts away from the Earth, the big dish in Goldstone, California, will acquire. At 2 hours and 33 minutes into the flight, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston. 2 hours, 42 minutes into the flight. We attempted to establish some communication a minute or two ago through one of our instrumentation aircraft. We heard them, they heard us, but it was just barely. And we are now awaiting contact, which we should have in about 2 minutes, through the good ship Mercury. It's entirely appropriate that the ship Mercury should be the relay point for this historic burn, which is planned for in about six minutes from now. Flight director has just advised that we should stand by to receive Mercury data, and that's precisely what we're doing. We'll be back to you in about 2 minutes. This is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston, 2 hours, 45 minutes into the flight. And we now are getting data from the ship Mercury, and everything looks good. The booster has advised that the tanks have repressurized properly, and here goes the first call up to Apollo 8.
The Mercury, and you're looking good to us here. Everything looks good.
Roger, I understand. O2 flow is a little bit higher than I thought, but Bill says it's just about what he expected.
Right, I understand. Your AT flow looks good down here.
Thank you.
Here in the control center, two big charts dominate the front of the room, two of the walls. One of us will present the data as it climbs. It's a plot of velocity versus altitude, so we will be able to track that for you. The other plots show the angle of the burn is following. And still another shows the ever so slight out of plane maneuver. Stand by one. Immediately following the burn, we should get a detailed report on it from Frank Borman. Bill Anders, and during the course of the burn, we'll operate the onboard flight recorder, and on which any comments from the various crew members will be recorded. And we will undoubtedly hear some comments from them during the course of the burn. Immediately following the burn, Jim Lovell is to start stowing the many items of camera gear, lenses, mirrors, cables, all manner of a camera equipment, including a spot meter. And the Apollo 8's been advised once again that they look good for the burn. About every minute, the flight director has pulsed the booster man in this control center to get his status. Seconds to TLI.
And go, Captain.
And Mike Collins gives him a mark 20 seconds to ignition. Now he's counting for two. We see ignition. Lovell confirms ignition. And the thrust is okay, Booster says. Flight Dynamics says we look good, Flight. We're watching the thrust build. Trajectory, guidance, Flight Dynamics, everybody in the front, what's called the front trench of this control center, says they're happy. That includes the booster. Colin says you're looking good. Two hours, 51 minutes, and 30 seconds. That would put us about a minute into the burn. Apogee now 800 miles and climbing. Hawaii confirms that they've got a very solid lock. And Borman almost nonchalantly says, Roger, we look good here at 2 hours 52 minutes. Flight Dynamics says we're exactly nominal. And cutoff is now predicted 2 hours 55 minutes 58 seconds. 2 hours, 55 minutes, and 58 seconds. The crew's been advised that they look, all values look exactly nominal, or just exactly what we'd hoped they'd be. Our present altitude is now about 3,000 miles, and we're go. These three crew members are traveling faster than man has ever flown before. There is very little conversation with the crew, but let's cut now to the crew and see what we can pick up.
Houston, you're looking good here, right down the center line.
Roger, Apollo 8.
Our velocity now is about 32,000 feet per second. 32,000 feet per second. Velocity is now 33,000 feet per second, and from Hawaii we are getting a visual report. The people in Hawaii are observing the burn from on the ground.
Apollo 8 Houston, you're looking good, right down the old center line.
Roger, Apollo 8.
We're about 40 seconds away from cutoff here, and the spacecraft moving at nearly 35,000 feet per second. Cutoff in 30 seconds. Present altitude 35,000 miles. Miles. We're approaching. We have passed 60,000 miles and we're very nearly. And Borman says we've got SECO. Cutoff was right on the second.